Bruchim Abayim to the third in the continuing series of Shiurim on the history and the philosophy of the Kabbalah. In the first two Shiurim, we spoke about the Kabbalah of the Marisuk, the Talmud of the Ari, and how, in fact, in the Hagdamas of the second Hagdamah of Chaim Voloshina, how, in fact, one could understand him as alluding to the Kabbalah of the Marisuk, of course, in a negative way. And this explained why the Kibbalim are very hesitant in accepting the Kabbalah Ma'isur. But nonetheless, the reasons why we spoke about that the Balatanya, the Nafshachayim, and even the Goyin, according to the Lashem, seem to have accepted aspects of his Kabbalah. We spoke about it. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to actually push the matter even further. And what I want to do is I want to go back. And I want to go back to the Ari himself, and in particular go back to the Kabbalah before the Ari. Now, of course, there's a long history of Kabbalah before the Ari, from the Talmud of Rishayim, the Ramban, the Yitzchak Saginor, the Ravid. But what I'd like to do is compare the Ari with his most immediate predecessor, which is the Rabbah. The Rabbah, actually, when Meshach Kadaver, was actually a Rebbe of the Ari. Now,
no, I mean, he not for very long.
Okay, whatever it is, but the Rambam wasn't Rabbi, the Ari had a Rabbi, we called the Ramak. Okay? He was much older than the Ari.
And it's the same as the Torah,
the Padas Rimayin. Right. That's the Ramak certainly is the Rabbi of the Ari, in any sense, right? And, of course, the Ari, as we'll see, is a Gilim, revelations that go beyond the Ramak, but in other words, if we can say the Ramak, you know, learned Kabbalah from anyone, it's from the Rabbah. If anyone's from the Ramak. In any case, what's the purpose of the Kabbalah? Or, what's the purpose of the Kabbalah? What's the purpose of all of this? So, the basis for this is a Zoya. We're speaking about the purpose. What is the Kodesh Baruch? What is the purpose of the revelations of the Kabbalah? Why do we need Kabbalah? So, the Zoya in Chedek Beis, that Membeis Amud Beis speaks about this pashtus of the Nehor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This pashtus, the illumination of God as it spreads out. You know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's illumination begins, of course, in the highest worlds, and it spreads out into the lower worlds. So, the Zoya says like this: why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to be pashtus? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to illuminate us? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to reveal His infinite light? So, what does the infinite light have to spread out? So the Zoya says, the Eloi is Pashin Nohire. If the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not spread out, does not illuminate, I'll call Bavyan and all things which are created. Ech Yishtamude Le. How will he be known? He with a capital H. How will HaKadosh Baruch Hu be known? The Ech Yishkayim, and how will there be a kiyum, meaning how will there be an existence of the pasuk b'lo yichala olatz kevaydei, the world is filled with his glory. In other words, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't spread out, illuminate, or causes infinite light to illuminate throughout all the world, throughout all of his creation, how will he be known? How will we know him? How will people know him, about him? And how will there be a kiyum of the pasuk b'lo yichala olatz kevaydei? That's the lashon of the Zoya. Okay, now, says the Ramak in the Padas Ribayim, Shau Dalet Periches, and explains what this means, Peirush. That is to say, L'cheinu mispashit behem. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, his light spreads out in all of the creation. V'atam, and the reason is, Ki kol etzem ha'atzilus eino elo lagalois al kusei el ha'shvolen. The purpose of creation is to reveal divinity elashvalim to those who are lower. Nispashet lefi midoisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this light spreads out in accordance with the midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kidei shia bnei ha'olam, that the people of the world makirim oisa, that they should know him. Lefi mitziusa, they should know God as He is, as He exists. B'chol midah v'midah, in every midah. And he goes on and says, "If lo hayu habadreges yodos ad hatachlas hazeh, if the different levels did not you know, they're not declined. There was a declension of levels from the top to the bottom. V'neshama shul atzmus mispashet b'toich, and the neshama somehow is not mispashet throughout all these madregas. I guess the neshama of Kodesh Baruch, right? The light means not neshama, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu neshama being this, right? This luchnis, the spirituality. Lo hayu makira mayaitzer. No one recognized the Creator. V'ech is kaiyim lechalatz kavaydei. Tom Shani. Now, so the Rambam says the first reason is people have to know God; they have to know the existence of God. And secondly, Echis Kayim Lecholos Kavaida. He says is another reason, right? So therefore, because both can become the world.
But Melacha is that people should know God.
No. The reason, because both the Rambam says, is two reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, why does the light penetrate to all the worlds? Number one is that people should know God, Mimakahim. The second reason is it's the second reason. Then we take the Zayas, and Zayas giving two reasons. One reason that we should know him, we should, right? And second reason is Shahutra is Pashtas Bachal Net Solo, because Bach has been the light has been spashed, spread out in all of things that are created. Shemoya mispashit betoich echiskayim. In other words, how could the world, I understand Mishkayim kol ayetz kavayda means, how could the world exist? That's what I understand. This is bringing two reasons. Number one is that we can apprehend him. And number two, the Kosh Baruch Hu's Bachaya gives existence to the world.
Aren't they in the wrong order?
What?
Aren't they in the wrong order? Aren't those reasons in the wrong order?
No, they're not in the order. But let's go further, okay? I want to give several quotes of the Ramak. In Shar Beis, Perek Vav, he says, V'rol ha'atzil ha'atzilus hazeh, Kosh Baruch Hu, thought to create this world, and to reveal to the eyes of the creations, gedulato, his greatness, that he should be known to his creations. We should have some hasaga. Musak. In other words, that the creations of Kodesh Baruch Hu should somehow apprehend him. Musak. Ketzas. A little bit. In other words, through these worlds and the collection of worlds, then the creations, and of course man, can be masik, can understand Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ketzas. Not completely. Ketzas. Vilayski is galus lema musay. Right? The Kesser, Ella, Nevroim, Beroiv, Roimimus, and Etzal, Adain, Ein Koyot, Nevroim, Lasigo, Hutzwak, Latzil, Achokma, and Chokma, the Bina. In other words, because both has to make different levels. Chokma, Bina, Adam Malchus, until the Malchus. Kisham, Hasogas, Roimus, Amela. We can be massive. People can massive. People can apprehend the greatness of the king. So in other words, the Ramak is emphasizing that Akash Baruch Hu created the world. Right? So that people should be able to apprehend it. Shao Dalit Perek Vav. I'm just reading different quotes of the Ramak. You shouldn't think I took one second of the Ramak and ignored everything else. But we have three quotes. We have a Chazaka. Shao Dalit Perek Vav says Ramak. Vatam kisibas atzilus. The reason for atzilus is what? Why did God create the world? Right? He didn't want the people who are limited, Bali Taklas, how are they going to, right? She shouldn't disappear from them, because how can someone finite understand something which is infinite? In Mipnei Shirotel is Galis. He wants to reveal himself. Kidei Shuchel Nevroim Lahasik God Lusa. People should apprehend his greatness. Kilo Yecholom Lahayeh Lahasik Atzmusa Liyais Miziv Imlo Ayideh Sphiris. Through the Sphiris, people are being Masik Atzmusa. They're going to apprehend something about God. That's what he says. So, we have three quotes from the Ramak, which I think, however, wait, now actually there's a Tom Shani which you spoke about. I don't want to go into that right now. Another one, two Shiurim, we'll go into that in much detail. But we see from half of the first and the last two that certainly the Ramak is learning in the Zoya that the purpose of creation, right? Is that people should be masik. I'm using the word masik. It's very important. Lashon Ramak masik, something from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Apprehension. Okay? That's the Ramak. Okay. Now, the Eitz Chaim begins, because the Rav Chaim Vital is is basically, these are the notes of Reb Chaim Vital on Yavi.
Did he learn from Ramak at all?
No. It's the Reb Chaim Vital came from Damascus and learned directly from Yavi. Now, last week we started with Hakira Beis, the second investigation. But now there's the first investigation. Okay? It's interesting. Why does the Eitz Chaim begin with two investigations? So, the second Hakira, we said, the Eitz Chaim is going to tell us what we can't learn. Lafuki the Magnuson. What is the first? But now we're going to look at the first investigation. Now, what's the first investigation? So, in the standard edition of the Eitz Chaim, of Yud Aleph Ben Aleph, this is not really Kabbalah. This is just the purpose of the Kabbalah, the history, the philosophy of the Kabbalah. Be'inyan tachlis anaf aleph, he says, be'inyan tachlis hakavana shabriyas ha'ilamas. What's the purpose of creating the worlds? Nevar ata shnei chakirish, this askalim of Kabbalah, we speak about two chakiras, two investigations of Kabbalah, busy themselves with, right? Hachikira ha'rishayna huma shechokku chachomim rishayna v'achoyna. The first chakira is what chachomim rishayna v'achoyna v'achoyna. Now, Chayim certainly means after the Ramban. I think Chayim means the Ramak included. Ladas sibas brias olamos. Well, no, doesn't mean right. Ladas sibas brias olamos. What's the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world? Lazy about sibas. Why did he create the world? V'nimnu v'gamru v'gazlu, which is a lashon of psak halacha. Which means he's not telling us history. It's a psak halacha. Oimer, ki sibas hadav hayal lefi shinei hu yisboach muchach sheyashalim b'chol pulosay for kol chosay. God has to be perfect in all of his actions and all of his powers. Uvachol shemaisa shel gulul amal v'kovay. He has to be perfect. Okay, he has to be shalom, perfect. V'imloy amaitzi pulosay for chosay lidei poyel umaisa. If Kadosh Baruch Hu did not actively, you know, act in the world and express his powers, he didn't bring the lidei poyel from a potential to an active state, lo hayak kiviyachol nikra shalom. You wouldn't be called shalom. Complete. Like the pulazim, the shemesa, the kinuya. And he goes on to say, kira shema gadol, abba oisiyas, da da da, etc., etc. Now, and what midas are there? Rachum, chanun, el chabayim, etc. Now, there's a very subtle but important distinction between the Ari and the Ramak. And I want to claim that what the Ari is doing, I mean, of course, Chaim Vital is his sefer, is he's coming lafuke from the Ramak. The Ramak speaks about Kodesh Baruch Hu revealing himself through the Sfira, through the Kabbalah, in order that people should apprehend it. I can apprehend completely, but there's an apprehension, which I understand apprehension in a certain sense, a certain intellectual apprehension. Musak b'tziyusa. There's an intellectual apprehension. In other words, the Kabbalah is coming to give us some type of a little bit of an intellectual apprehension of God's existence, of his greatness, whatever. According to the Ari, he doesn't speak about hasagas. According to the Ari, so in other words, the purpose, according to the Ari, the purpose is Kodesh Baruch Hu should be shalom, should be complete, which means, according to the Ramak, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world for our sake. According to the Ari, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, kiviyachol, I'm saying kiviyachol, for his sake. He wanted to be shalom. There's an entirely, completely, minakotza lakotza, polar difference between the Ramak and between the Ari. According to the Rak, where Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, then man should apprehend. A little bit. Whatever the man can apprehend intellectually. According to the Ari, Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to be shalom, needs to perfect himself. It has nothing to do with Hasaka man's apprehension. And this is called, right, and it's interesting, is that I would imagine that this is actually the way the Ari is in fact actually learning the Zohar, right? Right, and he brings the same Zohar, v'zeh l'shaynei. D'lo yispashin nahorei al kol belyan, ech yishtamudin lei, v'ech yizkayim loy chalamatz kevayda. He quotes the same Zohar. So it's clear that Yari is coming in the first Hakira to argue on the Ramak.
The Ramak quotes the Zohar?
Yes, the same Zohar, yeah. Ramak quotes the Zohar. That's the beginning quote of the Zohar. In other words, Lashmudei, according to the Ramak, means to inform people of God's mitzios, of His truth. According to the Ari, Lashmudei means that to be Rachum to people, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, become shalom in all of his midos. Okay, so now, very nice. We see, understand. So, in other words, the first Chakira is coming lafuke v'ramak. It's up to now. The second Chakira is coming lafuke the barisuk. Even though we'll see the second Chakira is also related to the ramak too. Now, what's the difference between these two understandings of the purpose of creation? What's the difference? Well, I want to go back a step and let's try to understand the Yari. God has a need to be complete? What does God need completion? I mean, Bishlavi wants to say Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to inform man of his truth. So God illuminates the world. He reveals himself to the world to inform man. But before there's a world, there is going back. Before there's a world, why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu look for completion? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the world to be complete? There are some people trying to explain this using, different types of dialectical absurdities. But I want to explain what Yari is introducing an instrumental concept to you. What Yari is saying here is that you really can't ask the question why God created the world. It's ridiculous. Man can't ask the question why God created the world. There's an eternal gap, an infinite gap, between man and God in and of himself. What Yari is saying is that the creation of the world and its illumination by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is purely from the God-man side. In other words, they're re-establishing here, I think clearly, the first time in history in a very, very clear way, a fundamental, irreducible dichotomy between God in and of himself and God as he relates to man. And this is something which is, in fact, spoken out by the Ramchal, the Goyin. The Goyin says in the Yisrael Kolam, those of you who want to hear ashkafasai.com, the Goyin begins saying, Klal Gadol, the Kabbalah, everything the Kabbalah is speaking about is as God's Baruch Hu reveals himself to men. God of himself calls not speaking about it.
Can I just ask a silly question?
Yes.
Okay, a silly shita. Can you explain how that's different than, for example, the Rashba, who says that every Baruch Hu talks about us speaking to God from our point of view and God from God's point of view?
Wait a minute, the Rashba says that Baruch is from our point of view.
The Baruch Atah, and then Hashem, in the third person, there's Nigla, the Nista, Nochach, and Nista.
No, there's two ways we relate to God.
How is that different?
No, because here the Ari says we have no way. In other words, the Baruch, Nista, Nigla means that the Rashba agrees some things of God are going to hit them. He's not saying it's an irreducible dichotomy. He's not saying we can't, in other words, in the Baruch we can still speak. In other words, in the bracha, we can still speak about God in the third person, because the Rashba agrees that things are hidden from man to God. But who says it's an irreducible dichotomy? And in other words, who says that, for example, that everything we speak of God is only from, anything God reveals is only from our point of view? Is the psukim like that too? That's a bracha. But the psukim like that too? Or all the psukim of the Torah coming from the man's side, from the God side? In other words, the Rashba is only speaking about a specific bracha, because it's a bracha we know that we can relate directly to God, but we know there's something hidden from God. God, this is the Chumash. But what about the Psukim? What about the Psukim in the Torah? Is that from man's side or from the God's side? The Rebbe would say this from the God, the Rebbe would say this from the God's side too, from the man's side too. Everything's from the man's side. In other words, everything's from the man's side.
In other words,
I can acknowledge the fact that the things of God that are hidden, I mean, even the Ramak says Tzatz. But what we're saying, we're speaking about prophetic revelation. In prophetic, is there a Rashba that says in prophetic revelation that everything's from man's side?
Meaning there's no God, in a sense? From our perspective, there's...
No!
From our perspective, we can't understand God, or we understand God...
As he reveals himself. In other words, the Psukim Lachumash, right? If the Rashba... Rashba would say the psukim are only from our perspective. That's what he's not saying that. I could say in the bracha, I could say in the bracha, everybody agrees and ask the God which is hidden. But revelation.
There's only one God for the Rashba.
Right.
The Ari's really made.
Right. We're speaking about revelation. If the Rashba say the psukim are only from my point of view, but it's still the Rashba and his Perushim and the Kedusha God certainly speaks about that. That's not true. Anyway, in any case, does the Rashba say anywhere that God looked to achieve Shleimus?
The Ari is the first person to say this in Jewish history.
Right, in my opinion, the first person to say that in Jewish history.
Or he claims it from the Zohar, or he doesn't even.
Well, the Ari would say this is the Pshat in the Zohar, but that's what the Ari is saying. But we see clearly. What do we see clearly? The Ari is coming off Fuki for the Ramak. Clearly, they're taking the same passage in the Zohar and they're learning it totally different. With the Rashb, I want to ask a question: is there anyone before in Jewish history who said that God created the world because He wanted to be complete? I think the Rashb would consider that to be apikosis, purely apikosis. But I'm not for sure apikosis. Now, I know some popular Dalshanim who try through their Antonianism to sort of like, you know, say complicated things which thousand people which don't mean anything. But the fact is what the Ari is doing, and this is, and we see that this is what the Goyim, the Ramchal say, the Ari, and also Chaim V'Loshin to a certain extent, this Mitzidon Mitzideinu. The Loshin of Mitzidon Mitzideinu is not used in the Rashba. The Rashba just says that Nister and
no,
right, that's something different. But mitzido mitzideinu, from our two, the two, that's only the Ari. So, what the Ari is saying is that fact, the purpose of all of Kabbalah is only from the man's side. It's not from the God side. Whereas the Ramak understands that Kabbalah is also from the God side. There might be part of God which is nista, which is hidden. But the Ramak is certainly from the God side. And you see what the Ramak is saying. Why did God want to create the world? He wanted to reveal to man. That man should apprehend. The Ari says he wanted to be complete. I mean, unless a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a human being, you can't say on anything divine wants to be complete. Obviously, the Ari is making a very, very important, radical historical statement. Now, by the way, everybody agrees that the Tzimtzum is the Chiddush of the Ari. Why is the Chiddush? How come we don't see the Tzimtzum in the Ramak? Maybe some will say the Tzimtzum in the Rashba. The notion of Tzimtzum is the Chiddush of the Ari. Why was, and in fact, if anyone could say anything is a Chiddush of the Ari, at least a new revelation of the Ari, you have to call it Tzimtzum. Why was the Ari Mechadish Tzimtzum? How come in the Ramak you don't have Tzimtzum? The answer is, very simply, Tzimtzum means the following thing. In Tzimtzum, which is an act of contraction, and then after that there's an expansion, that's an irreducible dichotomy. In other words, Tzimtzum is a two-step movement. God contracts, and then he expands. Meaning that what? God takes away him in and of himself in any way, and then he reveals what he wants man to know. In other words, the concept of Tzimtzum, whether you learn like the Baal HaTanya, whether you learn like the Nefesh HaChayim, you could learn the Asara Klolim, the concept of Tzimtzum means that there's a God side and a man side. And that's why the Tzimtzum was, we see the Tzimtzum first in the Ari. The Ari is the first person to fundamentally create this dichotomy between God in and of himself and God as he relates to man. There's no connection between God and himself and God as he relates to man. And that's when we have Tzimtzum. By the way, in the Shita of the Marisrug, there's like a intermediate point. That's the Havel. But like I said, mentioned before, there's no mention of that in the Ari.
What does Rabbi Schultz mean by no connection?
In other words, we can't make any type of an intellectual connection between God and himself, God's will to man. In other words, we have to say this two dinim, a dichotomy.
Because we can't say anything at all about God.
Right.
Because we've got one with negative.
Right, right. It's like a wave particle duality and electron. We can't, there's no way of connecting them. Even there, you can't through these shortest equations, but I'm saying here you can. So in other words, this is, so now like this. What we have is the first Hakdama and Chakir and Yari is coming Lafuki directly from the Ramak, who is his rabbi.
So can I just say it again?
Yeah.
When you say there's no connection, it means from our perspective, there is no connection, or even from God's perspective. From God's perspective, there must be a connection.
But it doesn't make a difference. It's not possible.
No way we
man can never
one
fathom
one.
Any connection. In fact, the connection is hidden from man.
Right.
In fact, that's what's called, what the Mishnah Chagiga says. Okay, malamata, malamata, etc.
But from God's, I mean, the
yeah, of course, I'm sure God has a connection. But I mean, once again,
right,
we can't. Okay, now, the Ari actually, at the very end of the Etz Chaim, there's a section which I think comes from the Ari himself, and the Ari, this is in Daf Kuf Yates Amud Aleph, towards the end of the Chaim. This is it's entitled Klalim Shasar Arachaim Vitalzal Bekat Nusai. And then some say Bizik Nusai. Whatever. So it says Laha Rizal. I guess he heard this directly from the Ari. Maybe the Ari actually wrote it himself. It says Haramban v'chaveilov, the Divya Rishaynim, Kamoy Rabbi Nechunya ben Akada, Lo Yizkiru Rak Yud Sviras, V'loy Gilo Inyoni Paltzum Klal. We know that one of the important central concepts of the Kabbalah there is something called the Pautzel. Now, there is the first person to speak about Pautzel. We have Pautzel from the Rishayim, even the Ramak. We have Sfilas in the Rishayim and the Ramak, but we don't have Pautzel. There is the first person to go to Pautzel. So the Ari says, I'm not coming to tell you something new. Really, in fact, that which we don't see Pautzel from the Ramban and the other Rishayim, like a Chubin Akana, is they knew about Patsufa. They didn't reveal it. They only mentioned 10 spheres. The Patsufa was something which they hid. V'dasha Ramban v'Rishayim v'yoydim Patsuf, the Ramban and the Rishayim knew about the concept of Patsuf, and the Shadiblu behelim Godol, the Roiva Golos. Because of the Golos, they spoke in a way which would conceal. They spoke with great concealment. In other words, since there were such klipas, so therefore they couldn't reveal these secrets. On the ikfas b'shikra, come on, but the Ari says that now this ikfas b'shikra, so we're coming to the Messianic times. The lights are illuminating as they were originally. Now, in the beginning they were stumim. And this is after the Ramban. Hayo oil mekulkal. The world was mekulkal. B'chol ma'ashin eskalkal, nistam begolos, lo yamasigin elas sefiros besosom, besoyim nekudas, kiim kolo me'asem. In other words, when the world was a state of kilkal, so therefore all the people knew were the esses sefiros. I think it's referring to the word meskalkal, the time after the Rishayim until the Ari. We're speaking about the Achayim after the Rishayim, which I understand means the Ramak too. In other words, the Ramak, look at the Rishayim, did not say the Patsufim, because they didn't speak about Patsufim. They didn't understand the depth of the Ramban, the Choshu Shekachu, they thought that's what it is. They speak about every sphere is composed of 10. This is the Ramak. This is Mamish the Ramak. He's speaking about his rabbit. B'chinas Harbe, they talk about B'chinas, of course, in the Meshach HaDavero. The Ari is coming like Fuki, a person wants to talk. Now, what does the Ari say? The Ari says, the Ramban, Rav Chudi ben Akana for sure knew about the Patsufim, they weren't Megalod. So they didn't reveal them. So all they spoke about was the Esses Sfiras, the 10 Sfiras. The Ramak, who came after them, he didn't understand, he didn't fathom the depth of what the Ramban was concealing. Because of the Golos, the Romans, the Kulko, whatever it is. It's not a question that Ramak was Chas V'Shalom, less. But rather, the Kilko of the world, and the Klipas, and the Golos. And so, they only spoke about Esses Sfiras and Bechinas. And now comes Yahi and says, but I'm being megal to you. Now there's an emphasis in the Mishichah, sir. And that's clear here from the Ani himself, and that Chaim Vital writes this clearly in his Hakdama, his introduction. So now we can speak about the Paltzufim. Now, I don't want to go into detail into this, but I want to, what's the difference between Nekudas, spheres which are Nekudas, and between a Paltzuf? A Paltzuf literally means a human fence. Spheres which are Nekudas are dots. Connect the dots. Think of the following thing. Dots are a geometrical structure. It's geometric. When a person speaks about nekudos, what he's doing is, it's an intellectual apprehension. But when you speak to a person, you're not intellectually apprehending him. Interhuman communication is the person's revealing. He's revealing to you what a person can never, one can never know what another person is thinking. Speaking to a person means that he reveals things to me. Sometimes, Belosh of Paltzot, the Ramchal says in Das Tavunes, indicates that sometimes you can see from his face what he's thinking. But really, the concept of Paltzot means revelation. I can never know ultimately what a person is thinking. He had to reveal himself to me. In other words, when I speak to another person, there's a concept mitzida mitzidito. In other words, the person's thought is really hidden from me. All he does is try to reveal things to me. But of course, what he reveals to me is of course greater detail. Mashengen, in the case of a geometrical structure, nekudos, it's purely intellectual. It's an intellectual apprehension. I take it and try to understand it philosophically, intellectually, mathematically, abstractly. But there's no real direct communication. A scientist, when he looks at the world, certainly the physics in the world, tries to understand it geometrically, mathematically. That's equivalent, you know, l'havdil of havdalos, right? Equivalent to the spheres, without, right? But when I speak to a person, right, it's a paltzuf. The paltzuf, the whole is greater than some of the parts. There's a revelation. And I think really what the Ari is saying is the following thing. The Ari is saying is that Paltzufim is a revelation from God. A revelation always means there's a God side and that which he wants to reveal. That's the first chakira of the Ari. The Ramchal is trying to apprehend intellectually from God, speaks about spheres. Because spheres are geometric. They're things that can be analyzed abstractly. We can connect them. We can make bechinas. It's an intellectual quantification and quantization. So now comes the very interesting thing. But why did the Ramban know it? Why did the Ramban know it? In other words, how is it that the Ramban, Rabbi Chaim ben Hakana, according to the Rishayim, knew the Seder Patzufim? They concealed it. The Ramak, right, were only able to absorb what was written. All they spoke about was Esa Sfiris. And comes the Ari, and the Ari understands what's the Patsufim which are behind the Sfiris, which are mentioned in the Ramban. So, what I want to say here is the following thing, and I think this is a very, very important thing what the Ari is saying. The difference between revelation and what I call intellectual apprehension is the following thing. Intellectual apprehension only allows me to reach what my intellect can comprehend. I mean, intellect as apprehension, I mean, everything comes from the person. The person intellectually apprehends something. In revelation allows me to speak about things even beyond what I can intellectually comprehend. In other words, if I don't have a text and I think about something, So I can come to conclusions and come to different types of sfeikas and, you know, speak about it. I think Amak does. I try to intellectually resolve things. If I have a text that tells me something, or someone tells me something, and I analyze his words, I can never empirically recreate his words, but based upon his words, I can come to understand things right beyond what my intellect would normally carry me. In other words, what we're saying is that, and this is Mashmul Rav Tzadok, and I think it's Machsheves Charutze. It is a Chochma, it means, I think, according to the Ramban, the Rabach, whatever, the Chochma, higher than Nevuah. But, I mean, what we're saying is like this. Once I have, in other words, once I have a text, right? Once I have a revelation, I could draw conclusions beyond that which my intellect can understand empirically. So I think that's what the Ari is speaking about, that he's going back to the Ramban. In other words, the Giluyim that came to the Ari, right, are Giluyim, are revelations, which carry one back further or higher than anything that a person could possibly empirically know using his intellect. Now, where did the Ari see this in the Ramban? Where did he see this in the Ramban? Now, of course, if the Ari says it was hidden in the Ramban, so I'm not going to be mechutzef enough to say that, you know, I'm on the level of the Ari. But in any case, I'm gonna be a mechutzef anyway and say, I understand the first Ramban on Bereishis. The Ramban speaks about Bereishis Balokim, the famous Rashi that speaks about, what's the purpose of Bereishis, what the Torah begin with Bereishis, of course, the Rosh Chodeshim. And then the Ramban says that really one cannot understand Maaseh Bereishis. To understand Maaseh Bereishis, one can use your seichel, one has to have a Kabbalah from Moshe Mitzrayim. Which means, what's the Ramban saying? What the Ramban is alluding to the fact is, there's a difference between intellect and revelation. In other words, with intellect, right, there's certain things I can't understand with my intellect. I need a revelation. With the revelation, right, I can come to understand things beyond my intellect. What I want to say is, perhaps, maybe, Deri, I mean, I'm sure Deri so much more than Ramban that I'll possibly have to see or even speak about. Well, let's speak about, but I think this concept is the Ramban too. The Ramban distinguishes between intellect and revelation in the first Ramban on Lachumish, which means Maaseh Bereishis, which of course Kabbalah is Maaseh Bereishis, part of Kabbalah is Maaseh Bereishis, cannot be understood intellectually. The Ramak is trying to understand Maaseh Bereishis to a certain extent intellectually. The Ramban says you can't understand intellectually. So therefore, this non-intellectual understanding, right? How can the Ari hop over the Ramak and get to the understanding of the Ramban? For this, he needs revelation. So this is the difference between intellect and revelation. Now, with this, I'm going to claim that the Lashem would say the same thing. The Lashem in his Likutim, at the end of the Sefer Adonis Shisha'ovim, he speaks about the relationship between the Ari and the Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim between philosophy and Kabbalah. And the Lashem says something which appears to be, this is on Daf, well actually my new version of the Lashem is page 218. I see I only have Arabic numerals here. The Lashem says in the last paragraph on the first column on page 218, V'da, ki kol divei HaRambam b'meira ha'medabe b'achdusa yisbar shemai. Right? Everything they speak about in the God, the Mor Nebuchim, which speaks about God's unity, the Dazu B'Kubalim, he's at calls about Tzmusi Atzmai, Asher L'Mayla Mi Atzimtzum. It's above the Tzimtzum, means it's before the Tzimtzum, which is exactly what I'm saying, right? Uvezeh Devar of Kodesh Kadoshim. Okay, Ach Pe'inyan Giluyev Yisbar Shemai. Respect to Revelation, Asher L'Tzorach HaMetzius Kulay. That's necessary for the entire Metzilus. Matthias, with all creation. Asher bazanit ha'atel Yisrael. Because I will call Tami Atera. And Sibas call Anhaga. Right? Asher b'roi Hashem. Right?
Now, there's a contradiction. If the Rambam is Lamaila Minatzim, so we have a contradiction. How come a person needs, why a person in Kabbalah? If the Ramban can speak what he's speaking about, that's higher than the Tzimtzum. So, I mean, there's a Chisalon and a Saga. In other words, what do we need Kabbalah to apprehend things? If we can apprehend the Rambam, the Marna Bull comes out of the Malawa to that. But I think what the Leshem is saying is the following thing. This is a Chiddush in the Leshem. Of course, it's an irreducible dichotomy. But what we have is that there's different periods of revelation. And the way history comes about is what's called revelation, philosophy, and revelation. Philosophy and revelation. A, B, A, B, A, B. The revelation, if you have A, B, C, C is revelation, later revelation, B is philosophy, A is earlier revelation. It is true that B is higher than C, but through C, one can make a connection to A that B can't. In other words, through revelation, even though there's a hakira, a philosophy, that one can in fact conceptualize before the revelation, but the revelation himself will bring you to the stage before that chakira, before that philosophy, that the chakira can never reach. In other words, the chakira is limited from its time outwards. But a later revelation can reveal something that's before the philosophical analysis, which means, unless you speak about the Rambam or the Volchem, but I'm just using this for the concept, I think that the Ari is speaking about the Rambam and the Ramak. The Ramak is philosophical. It can understand the spheres. The Ari is after the Ramak, and he's a revelation. But since Badafka, the Ari is a revelation, he can understand things that go beyond, higher, right? The Ramak, which the Ramban tried to conceal. And that's what the Ari is saying. So now, what we have is, we have an interesting thing. The first Chakira, in the Eitz Chaim, there, the Ari is come to tell us what distinguishes his Kabbalah from the Kabbalah of the Ramak, and I would assume the Kabbalah of everybody before the Rishayim, after the Rishayim. Now, what's the second Chakira? We spoke about the Bar Yisum, I think there's another aspect of the second Chakira. The second Chakira, also we spoke about last week, says, we can't speak. Isn't this speaking about what was before, what was after the world? The Mishnah Chakira says, right? Right? Lo chasal kvoit, koinai, lo yishlo bali oila. Says the Ari, no. We're not philosophically investigating things. We're only beginning from the man side. In other words, from Adam Katnish, from the man side. Before that, then the Mishnah says, right, why lo shalom bali oilam, it's finished and come to the world. In other words, the Ari, the second Chakira, especially when we learned last week, is coming to emphasize and solidify what he basically wants to say in the first Chakira. In the first Chakira, the Ari says, what's distinguished by Kabbalah is it's a purely man side, it's revelation, and it's not a, in other words, not a abstract, philosophical, empirical reconstruction of origins. What he says in the second Chakira is that we have to keep with that. We have to realize that we can't go beyond certain worlds. Whoever tries to go further is violating the Mishnah of, balabala, balabata, mafli, balachor, right? But through this, these revelations, like he says at the very end of the Eitz Chaim, through these revelations, I can come actually to go beyond what I could have possibly intellectually understood, pre-revelatory, and because of that, it allows me to actually go back and to reach things which I cannot reach intellectually, empirically, but I could come to know these things, just like the Ramban would have said on my separations. So really, that is what distinguishes Kabbalah from the Ramban. Okay, now, Baruch Hashem. And this, in fact, actually, is right after the Riddur, it goes right into the Tzimtzum. Because the Tzimtzum is the proper mechanism and concept to really understand this concept. Now, so, this is what, now, it's interesting, is that this is something which I'm going to speak about in Mitzvah Sham, in the next few lectures, but there's another, here was speaking about the difference between the Ari and the Ramak in terms of intention, how they understood the purpose of the Kabbalah. However, there's another important thing too that we have to understand. If you ask a person who's learned both the Ari and the Ramak, and there are very, very few people I know that know both the Ari and the Ramak, anyway, if you ask a person who's learned that, I think he'll tell you the following thing. What's the difference between the Kabbalah of the Ari and the Kabbalah of the Ramak? I'm going to go out on a limb and make a statement, and I don't know if I'll be able to prove it because I don't really know Kabbalah, but my impression is as follows. In the Ari, there's a concept of creation. Even after the Briyas HaOlam, there's a concept of creation. Creating patsufim, creating building kelim. In other words, in the Ari, the Kabbalah of the Ari is filled with creation. This creation of new patsufim, creation of new vessels. In other words, the Kabbalah of the Ramak is a declension. In other words, this infinite light that comes down is filtered and somehow reaches us. In the Ari, this chiddush. In the Ilmach, this chiddush. This is what's called moichin. The man from mitzvahs, in fact, actually illuminates the world. In other words, there's a concept of spiritual creation in the Ari.
The Ramak doesn't have
no
kelim and things.
No, not at all. Now, how is it possible for this spiritual creation? So, in my opinion, based upon what we've been discussing, in the Ramak, who looks at things intellectually and only looks at God revealing to man, right? The man should understand God. So of course there can't be any creation. All of Kabbalah is from up to down. But if in the Ari, according to the Ari, we're not dealing from the God side, then from the man side. For the man side, we can always go back upwards. In other words, the irreducible dichotomy that the Ari has established, right, in this Chakira, right, in contradiction to that of the Ramak, is not only a philosophical, theological division, but actually a division that's at the very essence of their respective Kabbalahs. The Kabbalah of the Ramak knows no true, really, spiritual creation. Nothing's created. It's just a filtering. But in the Ari, there's real creation. There's no Patsufim, no Kelim. And this only comes about, I can only say something like this, if I say that everything is from the man's side. From the man's side, man can always reach up higher. But then I'm up, man can reach up higher.
Who's doing this new creation, creating? God is creating, but it's before man is discovering
it. Well, when man does mitzvahs, well, actually God is a little bit, but actually when man does it too, when man does mitzvahs and learns Torah, you know, I mean, the entire Shah Kavanas of the Ari is based upon that man by doing mitzvahs, in fact, actually man creates entire worlds. That's the notion of creation from God's side too. What I'm saying is, man literally creates the entire world. And this can only be something. And even if you say God's creating worlds too, that's also part of this too. I mean, how could God create something he didn't create before that? According to the Rambam, that's a stira in God's, you know, in God's unity. I can speak about God creating and certainly man creating, Kavachom man's creation, only if I understand that we're speaking all from the man's side, not from the God's side. So in other words, the essence, the essential difference between the Ramak and Ari's Kabbalah comes, which is, you know, the creation and ascension versus just declension, is actually a consequence of this basic understanding of what the purpose of creation is, the purpose of the Kabbalah is. Okay, now that we've understood this, I think now we've thoroughly understood the first two anafim of the Ari, and that the anafim we should think. Now, the reason right is enough from there. Rav Tal didn't include enough from right just because we should think about these things, because really, I mean, if you learn the Kabbalah, who needs to think philosophically? But it's clearly that these two anafim here, the beginning of the Yetz Chaim, the Ari is coming, Rav Chaim Vital, in the name of the Ari, is coming in contradiction to the Kabbalah that came before him, most notably the Ramak, the Paras Ribbonim, which basically summarizes and synthesizes all the Kabbalah of the Rishayim and Achrim that came before him, and Lafuke, and to define the Ari Lafuke, those who would seemingly want to, in other words, create an intermediate between in this dichotomy, which is the Maris Lok, and all that came afterwards. In Mitzvah Shem, the next time we're going to actually go deeper into this,
and speak a little more about really what are the philosophical underpinnings of the revolution in Kabbalah of the Ari, which is central to the history and philosophy of the Kabbalah. Until then, for an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim of HaKadosh, Kol Tov.